Here Stephen's been preaching to these folks. We've looked at this outline and essentially used his message as an outline and taken a look at the theme of his message. He's been reminding them and preaching to them about many things. These ones of the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians and them of Cilicia and Asia disputing with Stephen, as it says there in chapter 6. They're all around the coast there in the Mediterranean. They're there in Jerusalem. They're disputing against him. And as Stephen preaches, being full of faith and full of the Spirit of God, the Lord has used him to rehearse before them the history and the account of Israel about the forefathers from the time of Abraham on, and telling them about the faithful, telling them about those that believed God and took him at his word, those that laid it on the line and believed the Lord and trusted him and what he said, even though it looked impossible, that they put their faith in him. If it cost them their life trusting God, then they were willing to do it. And that's the way it needs to be with us. We'll say, well, this doesn't look like this can work out, or this combination of things looks like that. That just can't be. That can't come to a good end. Listen, we need to seek and find what the Lord says, how to obey him in it, no matter what the circumstances or the outlook looks like to us. Amen? That's what we need to do, because the Lord can work the miracle. But we need to be right before the Lord and not be entangled with the wickedness of the world and the wickedness of the flesh. He also mentions about those that are unfaithful. They don't believe. They don't believe it can be right. They don't believe God can work it out. And he reminds them, of those folks. And then verse number 51 of Acts chapter 7, he wraps it up here. And I've promised you I've got a title for this chapter, and I like to do that. I encourage you to do so in your studies. Take a look and see what the theme of a chapter is or portions of Scripture, and find out and determine what it is. And maybe in the margin of your Bible there, write what that portion of Scripture, write what that chapter is about. Right? Find out, drill down in there and find out what the main theme of a portion of Scripture is, and maybe some other sub-themes that are there, just to get that layout of the Scripture in your mind, to be able to help you to understand and be able to help you to remember what's that passage talking about. Because listen, if you'll prepare yourself that way, when that point comes up, or that issue comes up when you're talking to somebody of your family, your neighbor, your kin, your friends, folks you work with, you'll remember that. And the Lord will take that and he'll bring that back to your recollection, and you can say, thus saith the Lord. Amen? Thus saith the Lord, because that's what we need to be holding forth, is thus saith the Lord. Here in verse number 51, He tells them all this. He wraps it up about God. What kind of house can you build for God? We took a look at last time in Isaiah 66 about the Lord saying, you can't build me a house. I'm living with my people. I'm going to live with my people through eternity. And those that are not my people, I'm going to take care of them too. And so he says here in verse number 51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Listen to that. Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, and so do ye. There's the title. The Word of God was delivered to Daddy, and he rejected it, and so have I. Wonder what my kids will do with a witness like us too. Did you hear that? The Lord is always looking out for the generations to come. We in our society today have become very narrow-minded. We think about ourselves and maybe our children. But the Lord always considers the generations to come. The Word of God was delivered to Daddy. He rejected it, and so have I. Wonder what my kids will do with a witness like us too. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. He's speaking to these folks that are here, and he's giving them this outline about showing the faithful, showing the unfaithful. And he says, here you are, you're doing the same thing. You're resisting. He says, you stiff-necked. What's that talking about, stiff-necked? They're going away that they believe is right. And what? they will not turn the neck towards right. They will not repent. What is repentance? It's seeing sin for what it is. It's confessing it before God that we're guilty of it. And we turn from it and leave it behind us. Amen? That's what repentance is. It's not saying, oh, I'm sorry you caught me. And then leave it for a little while and go back. But repentance is turning from it and staying away from it. Stiff-necked won't turn. God says repent. God says be converted. God says follow me in my way and my word. And we say no, no, no. These folks said no, we'll not have Jesus Christ as being the Savior. We'll not have Jesus of Nazareth to be the Messiah and the Redeemer. We'll not have it. We don't want it. We do not want it, and we will not have it. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. The Scripture talks about this circumcision. Turn real quick over here and talking about this stiff-neckedness and such. Turn over here to Deuteronomy chapter 9 real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Moses preaching to the children of Israel here, and we've seen this many times. Look here in chapter 9 as he speaks to them. Verse 5, not for thy righteousnesses, but for the uprightness of thine heart dost thou go to possess their land. Not for thy righteousnesses or for the uprightness of thy heart dost thou go to possess their land. Talking about the Canaanites. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. He told them that. He says, it's not because you've been good, and that's we are not saved that way. It's not because we've been good, right? It's not because we've been obedient. It's not because we have any virtue within us. No, salvation is by grace. It's the unmerited favor of the Lord. It's his visitation upon us with his word and with his spirit and revealing himself unto us. He says, because you are a stiff-necked people. He tells them straight the way it is. Verse 12, and the Lord said unto me, arise, get thee down quickly from hence, telling about when they rebelled against the Lord, they made the molten calf. For thy people which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten image. Furthermore, the Lord spake unto me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Don't want to turn the neck from the objective that they've set. What do we see over there in Acts 7? They rejoice in the works of their hands. Right? They followed after their own heart. They desired the way that it was in Egypt and turned back towards that in their hearts and then physically with their bodies. Look over here in chapter 10. And see, this is what it's all about. This is what the whole Scripture is about and what the law speaks to us about and what Jesus Christ coming to save the souls of sinners, what it points us to. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 10, he says there in verse 12, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That's what the Lord wants. He wants all of you. He wants every whit of you. He wants every bit of us to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, and the earth also with all that is therein is. Only the Lord had delight in thy fathers to love them, because he wanted to, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people as it is this day. What's he say? Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart. Get your heart right. Get that sin cut out of your heart. Get that rebellion and that stiff neck and that forward forehead, that hard forehead that is like an adamant against God, and cut that stuff away. Amen. And humble yourself before the Lord. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff necked. See, there they are together, and that's what Stephen is referring to here in chapter 7, verse number 51. Back in Acts 7, he says in verse 51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Stiff-necked in the heart, stiff-necked in the ears, uncircumcised in the heart and uncircumcised in the ears. What is it today that the scripture tells us that there's going to arise a people that want their ears tickled with what they want to hear? Don't want to have the word of God preached to them about the love of the Lord for them, the love that they should have for their Lord, and the service and the holiness that the Lord desires from his people. Don't want to hear that, but we want to hear about how good we are, how great we are, what wonderful things we've done in the service of the Lord. He says, you're stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and in ears. Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. Wait a minute. You can't resist the Spirit of God. Listen, when the Word comes, it's come. The Logos, it comes because God has uttered it, folks. The Word of God comes because God has dished it out. And when we say, no, I don't want it. No, I don't want that way. No, I want something else. When the sinner that stands there condemned before the Lord and says, no, I don't have to answer to God for my sin and my condition. Stiff-neckedness, hardness of heart, uncircumcision of the heart, resisting the Word of God. That's what he's saying. He said, the Word of God, it's come plain to you. And just like our daddies did, and their children here down to today, you guys fussing against the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're doing the same thing. That's what he's telling them. That's what he's telling them. And the thing is, notice how it is there. He's talking about the heart and the ears. What is it that comes to us from the Lord? That Word. Amen. It's the Word. It's the Word of God. If the Word of God means nothing, we have nothing. But he speaks to us. He speaks to us all so peaceably. He says, come to me. I'll wash you with something that'll really clean you. I'll wash those sins away that they'll never be remembered anymore. I'll take you, and though your sin has made you crimson, I'll wash you white as snow.
Amen.
Mm-mm-mm. He speaks to us, and it's by that word that he will judge. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers. Whoa, that's pretty tough. That's pretty tough. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. What was it again? It's telling it, wasn't it? The prophets came telling it. The prophets came telling about the sin. The prophets came bringing the word of the Lord about the judgment for sin. The prophets came telling about the one who would ultimately take away his people's sins. And they say, no, 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 we don't want it. Of whom? There in the latter part of verse 52, of whom you have now been the betrayers and murderers. After the pattern of our fathers, in the day that Jesus has come, you that are here fighting against the word of God, you really did it. You laid your hands on him. You delivered him over to the Sanhedrin. You delivered him over to Pilate. And you saying there that you wanted his blood upon you and your children, you went and killed him, murdered him. Rejecting the word, as John chapter 1 tells us. Verse 53, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Received the Word of God by the instrumentality. That's what that's talking about. By God using those powerful, powerful angels that we've seen and studied about in times past, using them to carry His Word to those prophets and to those men of God that He raised up in His nation. Had any other God ever done such a thing? No, he never had. Muhammad claims that Allah gave him a word, but with much examination of it, it's found to be a false word, isn't it? That's right. It doesn't take much at all with a little examination of it. He says, it's not like you were far over there, far away from God as a nation, and we're a long way from the oracle and word of God. But our fathers were right up here close, right up here on the receiving end. And had the men of God sent to us, to sent to our people before us, sent to us here now in our day, Stephen says, we rejected it. You have rejected it. Stephen himself, speaking about himself, he had received it, hadn't he? He believed it. But he said, you don't believe it. And it's the only hope that you have for your soul to be saved. Oh, don't fight against God. Amen. Don't buck against the Spirit of God, the work of God in that, the Word of God. Don't buck against it. And here's what happened. And when they had heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Cut to the heart. Take a look over here in Acts chapter 5. Here in chapter 5, the account of Ananias and Sapphira, some miracles being worked by some of the apostles. And in verse number 17, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is of the sect of the Sadducees, were filled with indignation, hatred, and laid their hands on the apostles, put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And so they go and they look for them, and they couldn't find them. And in verse number 25, then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. You're guilty. You've done it. You've killed him. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, of whom God hath given to them that obey him. And when they heard that, they were cut, and added there to help our understanding to the heart. Cut. It slayed them. It offended them. It offended them greatly that they are being accused of being on the opposition side of the work and power of God. But that's where they are, aren't they? Amen. And what's the only thing that's going to help a sinner? What's the only thing that's going to help a sinner? What's the only thing that's going to help the child of God that gets off in sin and backslidden? The truth. Amen? The truth. The truth is what'll help us. What'll help us to get back from The error of our way as the children of God, as we backslide, if I'm backslidden, if I'm in a backslidden condition, what's going to help me to get out of that backslidden condition and get back in fellowship with the Lord and His people and His church the right way? The truth and repentance. Amen? Truth and repentance, to turn from it, to put it behind me, to go with thus saith the Lord and follow the Lord and His word and what He said. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and said, "We're going to kill them. We're going to kill them." They took counsel and said, "We're going to kill these guys because we're tired of hearing this kind of thing." Here was Stephen. He puts it on the line with them, doesn't he? They were cut to the heart in verse 54 of chapter 7. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. I've never seen such a thing. The only thing I've ever seen that I would liken unto that is somebody get so vehement from being so angry and so cold and so hard that they begin to grit their teeth. Is that what that's talking about? I think that's what it's talking about. They are so infuriated that the only way that they'll have relief is to put this man to death. Put him to death. Get rid of him. If we stop up his mouth, we will put an end to his words. And we'll be rid of that accusation. We'll be rid of that condemnation that is coming to us from him. They were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But he being full of the Holy Ghost, he was and still is, amen. He's dedicated to what the Lord says. And he takes it, and he takes it with the help of the Lord. Stephen takes what God says and has taken it and heeded it and listened to it and put it to work in his life. That's what he's doing. That's what he's done. That's the reason he has this boldness. Because he's sold out for the Lord. Nothing else matters. He's sold out for the Lord. For the Lord Jesus Christ, and he being full of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that what the scripture says in chapter 6, verse 3? Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. In verse number 5 of chapter 6, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, then they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. In verse number 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power in chapter 6, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Full of faith and power. What? Power of the Holy Ghost, of the Spirit of God. He's full of the Spirit of God. The zeal of the Lord has got a hold of this man, hasn't it? The zeal for his Savior and for his Lord and for his church, it's eaten this man up, hasn't it? He is riddled with it. He loves it. He loves the Lord. Does he desire for his brethren and his nation to be destroyed? Does he want rid of them the way they want rid of him? No. No, he's grabbing a hold of them and shaking them and saying, "Wake up! Wake up! Wake up and see the Lord! Wake up!" That's what he's doing. He wants them to be forgiven like he's been forgiven. He wants them to have peace like he has. He wants them to have that fellowship with the Lord through his Son and through his Savior that he's promised for centuries, nigh unto millennia. He's promised the Lord Jesus Christ in his word, and he wants them to know him.
Amen.
But they're there. And they're dead in trespasses and sins. They got that old stony hard heart. And so he's preaching to them hard as the Spirit of God has given him utterance that they might hear. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." I see Jesus. I see Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. He says, "I see the Lord."
Amen.
I see the Lord. There he is, Jesus, the one that he just told them that they had crucified, that they had murdered. He's standing on the right hand of God. See what that's telling them? He's exalted. He's exalted. He is God. Because only God can be there at that place on the throne of God. He's exalted. That's what he's telling them. The one they took and slew on that tree and murdered and hung on that tree. He's exalted with the Father. He is the Son of God. I see Jesus standing on the Father's right hand. Standing. 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 Why does a king stand? Amen. Who does a king stand for? The subjects stand for the king. Amen. The subjects stand for the king. But the king is standing there, and they cried out with a loud voice, verse 57, and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. You know what? If you and I don't live for the Lord and these lives that he's given us, we sure won't die for him. Might as well get over it. If we don't live for him, we're not going to die for him. And you know what? Our generation may be called on to die for him. The way this wicked world's going. Look how fast things have degenerated in our country and in this world in the last 5 years. That's right. Bad. Bad. And is it slowing down? No way. It's speeding up. It's speeding up and speeding up. And a generation, another generation's being brought up that has no conscience, has no morality, has no even clue of who God is, that they answer to God. They've been fed a bill of goods, that they're just a mistake. And are heartless and godless and wicked, pursuing after what? What men want, what mankind wants. And it's taken us as a nation, it's taken us as a world, generally speaking, down the broad way to hell.
Right.
But Stephen lived for the Lord, didn't he? He did. And cried out with a loud voice, verse 57, and stopped their ears. And ran upon him with one accord. And did he run? No, he stood there. Did he run? No. No, he didn't run. And cast him out of the city. They picked him up and carried him through the streets from wherever he was, wherever this dispute started taking place. If it was there at the Sanhedrin, if it was there at the temple, they picked him up and they rushed him out of the city. On a mob, on top of a mob, they carried him out. They didn't care how they grabbed a hold of him. They just latched on him, and on the top of that crowd, they carried him out of town. They cast him out of the city, verse 58, and stoned him and the witnesses. Remember I told you to hang on to that? The witnesses? Remember those men suborned over in chapter 6? Let's take a look back over there in chapter 6, verse 11. Read this. And they, those of these that disputed against him, those of the religious elite of the day, they saw Stephen and they saw what he worked. And when they suborned men, they got some men to go into collusion with them, to agree with them, that no doubt they paid them to do so. And they suborned men which said, we've heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. Those fellows are needed. Those fellows are needed right there, because here's where they come in. Here's where they come in. Turn over to Deuteronomy 17. They got to have these guys. They're very key and very important. They're the ones that made the accusation, right? The rest of them that are there, they're arguing with him. They're arguing with him. They're disputing with him. But these hit men, they've been recruited for a purpose. Because when it gets down to the accusation is worthy of death, they're needed. Deuteronomy 17, look here. In Deuteronomy 17, verse number 5, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman which have committed that wicked thing into thy gates. Sound familiar? Even that man or that woman, and shalt stone them with stones till they die. At the mouth of two witnesses or three shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. Verse 7. The hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people. So thou shalt put the evil away from among you. They need the witnesses. They need the hit men, because they're going to be the first ones to start pitching the rocks. They've accused him. They've accused him about these things that he has supposedly said. They suborned men in chapter 6 of Acts, and we have heard him which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. For hire, they've been hired. They've been hired of the Sanhedrin. They've been hired of the religious elite of the day, the leadership of the day, to take and pick up and throw that first stone at Stephen. To start throwing him, to hit him in the head, to hit him in the gut, to hurt him, to put him down, so then the rest of the people can start piling them on. That's what they're paid for. Because that word suborn means they had nothing to do with it to start with, but they've been brought in for a purpose. They've been brought in just for that purpose. Hit men. Back in Acts 7. And cast him out of the city, verse 58, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, look at the attitude of this man of God. Look at the love that he does have for his brethren and telling them the truth so that they might be saved. Getting rough with them. Getting rough with them because they're cold and they're lost and they're dead and undone. But because of the Spirit of God preaching unto them in a sober, right, open way. And he says, I see Jesus standing on the Father's right hand. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. As those rocks are coming at him and hitting him and putting him down, no doubt he goes to his knees and goes down laying on the ground, maybe tries to get back up, and another rock hits him in the gut, another rock hits him in the back, another rock hits him in the head. He's not railing on them. He's not cursing them. He's not maligning them. But he's saying, Lord, this is it. That's the reason I see you. That's the reason I see you standing there. Because I'm going on to you. You're bringing me on home to you. To be a witness for you. To be used of you to be a witness to my brethren. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Just like Jesus did, amen? Just like Jesus did. Lord, don't lay it to their charge. Lord, don't put it on their account. Because through ignorance they're doing it. Through ignorance they're killing me. Lord, don't lay it to their charge. Be merciful to them, Lord. Lord, be merciful to them. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Amen. Oh, Brother Luke, he takes the same position that the Lord takes about death, doesn't he? As he writes, you see that? Isn't that great? Brother Lucas, he writes. He says, Brother Stephen, when they stoned him and the Lord took him on. He fell asleep.
Amen.
Because see, with the child of God, that's what death is.
Right.
It's only asleep. Right. It's only asleep. The Lord said, Lazarus is sleeping. The disciples say, well, Lord, if he's sleeping, he does well. Everybody needs a nap. Everybody can use a little rest. And the Lord says to him plainly, to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. But to me, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, it's only sleep.
Amen.
I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Amen. And Brother Luke writes this account, then he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. The word of God was delivered to Daddy, and he rejected it, and so have I. Wonder what my kids will do with a witness like us too. May the Lord help us to see that what we do, how we live as the Lord's people, as the Lord's children, that the way we live and the way we die will have an impact on all those around us.
Amen.
Not just including our children, but our grandchildren, our neighbors, our brothers and sisters in Christ, a lost and dying world that's out there looking for something, but don't in and of themselves don't know what it is. Our lives speak to them, folks.
Right.
And you and I might be the only Bible that folks around us ever get to read. Brother Stephen, he lived for the Lord, didn't he? And when called upon, because he had lived for the Lord, because he had a pattern of looking to the Lord when it came time to die, he was able to die for the Lord.
Amen.
How about you and me? How about you and I? How about us? Do we represent the Lord well? Do we represent the Lord like Brother Stephen did? He recognized the Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father, didn't he? He was comfortable with it, wasn't he? Amen? When he saw the Lord standing there, he didn't say, uh-oh, this means I'm going out. This means I'm dying. He didn't say that, did he? No, but in his death, he's still thinking about his brethren, isn't he? Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Lord, receive my spirit. And he fell asleep. Asleep in the Lord.
Amen.
Looking forward to that resurrection because Jesus rose from the dead. So will Brother Stephen. Amen.
Right.
So will Brother Stephen. You that are here tonight and not saved, when it comes time for you to die, and you don't know when that'll be, but when it comes time for you to die, that's what you're going to do, is you're going to die. You're going to die and go in for that. In that first death, you're going to go into the pit of hell in the condition you're in. Without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you're going to enter into the pit of hell where there's burning, where there's fire, where there's brimstone, where God's presence is not. In darkness, in separation from God, in wailing and gnashing of teeth. They gnashed in their teeth on Stephen because of their anger towards him. Those that are in the pit of hell right now burning are gnashing their teeth because of the pain, the agony, the memory of this life, and the agony of being separated from God forever. And you know, one day, all those that enter into hell are going to be pulled out of hell and stand before the great white throne judgment of God. That first death puts them into hell. And the second death, because they don't have a second birth, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. And that is the second death. And hell is going to be cast in that lake of fire also. And death and everything wicked and all of sin that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't pay for is going to be put there in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Are you ready for your life to end? Child of God, may the Lord help us that we might live for Him. Amen. Amen. That if we're called upon to die for Him, that we will, in a way that'd be a witness. Was anybody reached by Stephen's testimony? Yeah, amen. One man was. A hard man. A religious man. The most dangerous kind of one, the most bad off kind there is, the religious one. A religious sinner. Yes. Through the dying testimony of Brother Stephen, a wicked religious man was reached. Wicked because he's wicked in the heart. Oh, he had a form of godliness, but he denied the power thereof. He didn't have the Lord. He had his self-righteousness.